faces across the board. Ha ha. And you know what it means, metal, if you're just listening to Hollywood Nick and heavy metal. And it's going to be a little bit of competition today. Andrew's training. He's getting a license. It's almost like he's getting his Navy SEAL badge. Because when you're trained by metal, that means you are special ops. And that's all I can consider it. But I think the guys that have been trained by metal, they get the best assignments. This could be, call it coincidental, call it just a fact. But how lucky are we to be able to be in this situation in training camp when you have content where we got one of our wishes, and I think a lot of us had a wish list, and that wide receiver deal, which is just, I can hear it in my sleep, wide receiver. This was not hype. This was fitting a need, but you have that same need, in my opinion, at every stinking position because this is a battle of attrition. And I'm asked this question over and over and over, having been to multitude of training camps. What is the most important thing to you right now is injuries. It's keeping my best players injury-free or in a place that they can recover rapidly. What's the thing that drives you nuts? When you lose starters. And everybody's going to do it. It's a part of the process. I got the word to people, what's the worst news you could get? Well, obviously, JD5. My left tackle or my starting corner or my edge rushers. There's like five value positions to me. Can I win without them? Maybe. Do I want to even know? No. I want to make sure I got that security blanket. There's a reason why toddlers love pacifiers. Because it makes them feel comfortable. Take that binky away, you got a problem. But if you give them that binky, they just settle. It don't matter who arms are in. So the word that I don't want to hear is that when Tunzel, who has just been, has there been anybody demonstrating more leadership skills with that level of talent that he possessed? No. Big fella's out there early, stays late, working with the toddler on the right side. He has done everything that a great leader does who's the best player at his position, maybe in the league. So he gets nicked. It's going to happen. You know, you got dog versus dog and one-on-one. This is what happens. Now the question is, that's why, what's my biggest concern is that our threes can actually play. Let me repeat that for those of you that may have missed me. That our third team is the best third team unit in the league. The guys that, when called upon, if called upon, can play. Because when you get down, that's the backup to you too. You might lose a one, but where does it keep us? Where do we stand? We saw what happened last year. We weren't depth equipped. We weren't ready. We didn't have enough badasses trained. You know, that's why I smile when I hear, oh, RBC, or whatever position, is 53 strong. It's the entire roster. That kicking competition going on is for real. It's got to be at every position. The one thing I love what you hear from the head coach all the time is about competition at every position. They had a two-hour sweat box today. That's not for the faint at heart. Okay, I have nightmares thinking about training camps in the past and that you were pushed to the brink. You would just walk off the field, but you don't have enough energy to resign. So you stick it out. That whistle that's blown at the end that indicates it's over is the greatest sound you've ever heard. Now all you got to do is drag yourself to a locker room. It is a test of every part of your soul. Can you survive it? And you look to your right and your left, and you see your brothers all dragging and everybody trying to get in. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to develop that callus so that in the fourth quarter, when you're down by three or up by three, you got enough in the tank to push it through so you can get the decisive points you need to secure victory. It's all about victory. Where's my target? Philadelphia. So if you want, because you're not going to like it. Don't let me discourage you. Go ahead and continue your games and do all the things that excite the hell out of you. There's only one thing I get out of this. It's if we win. The only thing that I measure the whole damn thing about is the scoreboard. Metal, you look like you're deep in.
Well, I was going to say, what do you, we talked a bit today earlier about, you know, what's the big concern now that Diggs seems to have made the wide receiver room. Everybody's kind of happy with that now. But what do you think about, like, say, the play calling? We got two new play callers on both sides of the field, you know, and you can have the deepest, you know, third string or whatever you want, but if your play calling's terrible, I don't know how much that matters either.
You're not going to know that until about 5 o'clock in Philadelphia on the opener.
Yeah, I know.
You get nothing out of this. This is simply, this is a treat for those that have never been through it and never seen it. It's unbelievable. But in terms of how much do we talk about this in September? We don't. There's never any ever reason that in September that we go back and talk about August. We don't. We don't. We're trying to get through this. And the best part happens next Wednesday. Now, I do love the inner squad, inner practices, when you bring on prey. And you got to hope you're not the prey. Because somebody over on the other side is simply looking at your record. Let me let you in on this. And the Miami Dolphins, who I'm looking at going, really? Really? Because I am old school. If I'm going to spar, so one thing, Muhammad Ali's sparring partners end up being world champions. Because he picked the toughest. He picked the best. If you want to appease yourself and go out and get the skinniest kid in line to spar with, that doesn't show me anything. Yeah, I'm disrespectful to the Dolphins. Until they prove otherwise, I'm going to stick with my thing. Dolphins. So that's supposed to be a slaughter. We're supposed to run through them like butcher knives through cheese. Because when I think of the tough guy and the bully on the block, I never envision them. Ever. But they better damn well envision us. And so this is what I'm looking to see next Wednesday. That should be quite interesting. What does it all lead to? The opener. It is amazing to me that we camouflage an entire preseason to be ready for the biggest game of the year. It's one of some of the dumbest strategies I've ever employed. Then I think to myself, hey, knucklehead, don't make a broad statement. Only focus on what champions do. What does Kansas City do? They play people in the preseason. They hit in camp. They have a football training camp. So if you've got the champions, perennial champs over the long haul, who go by this as a certain manner of what they do, wouldn't you consider modeling, or at least suggest that you model some of it? They're the best over a 5-year period of time. What's their strategy? Yet, people don't do it. People don't do it. And I hope they stay stuck on stupid. Because if you think you can get prepared to play the Eagles by having a dance class and going through yoga, then you're going to be in for a massive shock. Our guys aren't doing that. I'm not implementing saying that they are. They aren't. They're out there balling. There was a 2-hour sweat box today. I have a problem standing outside for 2 hours, let alone participating, carrying 35 pounds of gear and going against some guy that looks like Mighty Joe Young. So that's the level we're talking about. And you pay a price for poor strategy. I don't believe that's our case. I think we're doing the right things at the right time, and it's going to be a bit strenuous, and you're going to have some casualties to it. I almost stopped breathing when I tonsil. Oh, my God. Corner, left tackle, quarterback. Metal throw in one more sensitive spot on the body. Well, quarterback, left tackle, cornerback.
I mean, I feel for our team right now, especially the center, though.
Edge rush. Well, center is... You're one of a million. Most people would never think of the center.
I know,
yet
but
he
I just
touches the ball just as much as the quarterback does.
Sure, center touches the ball a ton, and our center position is kind of weak right now, and so that's a place I just feel like we get a preseason injury there, man. That doesn't bode well for the start of the season.
Unless the guys in back of them are better or as good, that's the unknown. It happens all the time.
Just I mean, I'd love to see the rookie, the guy out of Michigan State, do fantastic, but we cannot count on him yet.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but everybody was a rookie. The people that have been inducted in Canton, we're all rookies. Everybody goes through the process. We don't know it's not going to work but until we try it. And he's got to be given the ability to go out and get some reps. And so, you know, it's open. That's why this is pro ball at the highest level. And so what Diggs brings, one of the best press conferences of all time, but did you have to have him say that? Didn't you know it already? His record speaks for everywhere he goes, he's productive. Now, he's made some stops, but he's never the problem when it comes to production. He's a part of the solution. He provides production and a willingness to work with others.
I think some of it, too, is it shows that Adam Peters and the front office in general really wants to give Jaden weapons that he really didn't have access to last year. You know, when Terry was injured and Jaden was on the field, he did not have a lot of weapons with him. And I think this is Adam Peters trying to make a statement like, no, we've got this hot rookie, or not rookie, but young quarterback, and we're going to give him the weapons to succeed, you know?
That's on them. Nobody came in and invaded their bodies and made decisions without them doing it.
Oh, I know. But they think this is at least them trying to make a correction, which is better than staying the course in this case.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I'm saying don't tell me that the guy that makes all the decisions makes a good move when he makes an alternate move. That's his job. If plan one doesn't, you don't know it's going to work. You pick the kids because you thought it would work. My only gripe with the whole group is that they don't play them enough. How do you know it's not going to work?
Yeah, I know. I feel – I mean, how many snaps do you think we'll see Jaden taking the entire preseason? 12? 12 to 20, somewhere in there?
Maybe whatever they feel comfortable with.
That's what I'm – like, it's – I don't know.
If your O-line – if your people are in – see, first of all, it can't be scurred.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you got a long – this is a game. He's not – a pretzel. It's a pretty tough kid.
Yeah, I know.
It's a pretty tough kid. And all you can do is the best you can to protect him. Don't forget, this is not the same group that sent him out to Green Bay in that opener. That was criminal. So we move forward. And now I just believe that we're in a much better spot because you have better players around it. But I don't think you got to put 5 in bubble wrap. If you watch any of his film at LSU, he got whacked. And he bounced back up and he started delivering blows of his own. That's not my issue. What I want to hope, we've probably not spent enough time, we spent very little time talking running backs. Because it's hard, you're not tackling. But you notice some backs are getting paid now. That little moratorium that they had going around for about a decade, devaluing that position.
Certain backs are getting paid at least.
Well, the ones who earn it. If it starts, it's trickle down. They're getting paid. But look at the numbers they're getting paid at. $20 million, and we go, wow. But yeah, we got receivers making 30.
Yep.
Who may get 8-10 touches. This guy who gets 20 touches is devalued. The whole thing is ridiculous. The whole thing is just asinine, to be honest with you. But that's where the league wants to go.
I mean, when I was young, running backs and quarterbacks were almost the same pay. You know, running backs are right up there with them.
When I was younger, they were the thing. It was the backs. But it's a different game. And I don't expect it to stay the same. Everything evolves. No problem. But let's make up with it.
Do you think some of that is because so many quarterbacks run now in like the post-Michael Vick era?
I think anything that works influences others. Yet when I think of Buffalo and Kansas City, their quarterbacks are mobile.
Yeah.
But they beat you with their arm more than their legs.
But by having such a good running threat from people like Josh Allen and Mahomes, like you're saying,
It's amazing.
Don't you think that that might be part of why running backs are devalued, like in the, as opposed to, say, 20 years
ago?
There's
only five of them. So you got five people that you got on that one most wanted list.
I think there's more than five that can run now. Maybe not at an elite level.
Well, that's all I'm talking about, elite. If you can run, hell, you and I can run, but it's not at an elite level.
Sure.
There's four or five of them that are elite, that they changed the game. When you play the Ravens, who do you think more about, the quarterback or the running back?
Yeah, I mean, they got Derrick Henry, and you're still more worried about the quarterback.
There you go. It's nothing like it. It's hard to defend that one person because of space. And the athlete, usually that's mirroring him, is a linebacker.
Yeah.
It's a natural mismatch because it's got to be a safety.
Unless they're real fast like Sonny Styles.
He's one in a million.
I know. I'm really excited to have him back there now.
And when you watch him, when you see him out there running, moving around, it doesn't look like anything you've seen unless you're my age and you remember Monty. You know, Monty Coleman. And a lot of our fans do
remember. My mom was his insurance agent back in the day.
Monty, yeah, great guy. Yeah. God rest his soul. But he had that range and speed and size, but that's what former safeties do. They come downhill. The best thing about Styles to me is that a lot of guys have athleticism and speed, but they're not physical. This dude is a dog.
Yeah.
He enters the fight with bad intentions. He's there to inflict pain upon the opponent.
I am very excited to see him back there. I think it's going to be, to people that have not, like the casual fans that haven't really paid attention to the draft and it's training camp and stuff, and then they're just going to kind of start watching as the game starts. I think people are going to be like, who is this
but
dude?
But is that just my age group, your age group? You think that's Andrew's age group?
There's just
group?
Some people. I don't think it has to do with age group. There's some
I
people.
I think everything we do now has age group.
Well, I mean.
Because some of this age group.
There's casual fans of all ages, though. I mean, I don't think that's a demographic thing. Like, it's the same thing as just like the Super Bowl. You know, I have plenty of friends that don't watch football all year, but they watch the Super Bowl because there's always like a big party and they come out and watch it. And they don't really, they're casual fans at best, you know? And that's okay. Like, we're in the industry. We were much closer to this stuff all the time. So we're always talking about every trade the second it comes out.
World Cup for us.
Sure.
World Cup and what our lack of knowledge represented, but yet our enthusiasm was high. We wanted to learn.
Or the Olympics is kind of one like that, too, where you're like, I don't know who most of these people are, but go Team USA or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I watch gymnastics and swimming and skiing and skating as much as I do the sprints. I love watching it. Can't describe it, but I love watching it. We got a lot of NFL fans like that. Now, that was never the case in the past.
Sure. I mean, it's just getting bigger and bigger. And that's the thing. You're going to have more casual fans, too.
There you go.
But I don't think there's a problem with people being casual fans
not
either.
At all.
But I think these casual fans, the people that aren't listening to sports radio on a Saturday, like, you know, that are just kind of watch a game, you know, the first game of the season, let's go see how the Commanders are doing this year or whatever.
They're listening to us for different reasons.
They're going to raise some eyebrows with this Sonny Styles kid, I think.
Well, they're talking about the spread. The gambling element can never be mistaken. It's interest.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It grows the sport. Ching, ching. A lot of people make a ton of money now. 320 here. Here in the nation's capital. 1-800-636-1067 is the MGM National Listener Line. This Sports Saturday, 106.7 The Fan, DOC, Metal, Drew. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 3:26 here in the nation's capital. We got a new pilot now, and it's a good thing because he's settling himself in. Andrew Olivares is at the controls now. So be kind when you call and make sure you've got that canine password, which our next caller does. It is Tupic. Welcome home.
Hey, Doc, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Listen, let me tell you right now, your new pilot is awesome. You know, first time, didn't struggle with the name, didn't ask why. I appreciate it.
Well, he's been trained by SEAL Team 6. I mean, you got heavy metal. I'm telling you, this dude, you're afraid to do anything wrong. That's the problem. He like trains through intimidation.
Yeah, I met Mel before too, so I understand exactly what you're talking about. Doc, listen, we always talk about the guys in the, on the outside, quarterback, safety, the corners, but we don't talk about that engine and that transmission, which makes the team go or not go, right? The defensive line, I want to talk about them and how even though we're going to a new scheme, they got to have a big year by putting pressure on the quarterback, causing quarterbacks to make mistakes, stopping the running game. And that's what I really want to talk about right now is, you know, you started the show talking about running backs getting paid. Well, a lot of those running backs we faced last year, they got paid off of us. Bijan Robinson, I can remember, got paid off of us. Gibbs got paid off of us. And Lord knows what Seattle did with both of their guys. But Doc, D-Payne, Kinlaw, Deshaun Newton, they have to have big years, especially when it comes to stopping the run. What's your thoughts, Scott?
Well, no, you're right. You're not wrong. I mean, and you know better than that because it's just fundamental football. And most of their – now, here's two things about it. A lot of that group, the reason they have not been effective has been more due to injury than skill set. I think Payne's going to have a great year. I believe in Payne a lot, but he can't do it alone. If you could get two or three guys healthy, and because we have edge pressure as we speak, as long as they're healthy, we have edge pressure now, which we didn't have. It was easy to double us because you only had one or two guys worth a damn. Now it's different. Who are you going to double now? And I think there has to be held. You have to be look at the whole picture and say, this team has nothing in common with last year's. That was AARP at its finest. This is like a group like they just released out of a correctional facility. They are younger, faster, stronger. Now, what does that amount to? The game will tell us all. But from what I've seen and heard right now, I can't wait.
Yeah, Doc, I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I do appreciate the fact that we added some weapons to JD5. I do appreciate that, right? But just like I said, the offensive and defensive line is what makes everything go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But at least now you might be able to run the ball before. The last clown running the offense, you had no chance. He didn't believe in the running game.
Yeah.
Now you got you got a man that worked with Coach Caveman in Detroit. So if you want a prelude into it, just look at Detroit. Detroit's run base, offensive line, outstanding. D-line's outstanding. The core of football goes from the inside out.
Yeah.
And that's what he's been trained by. So all I can do is tell you looking at his resume, what they're doing out there. Now I'm not going to tell you anything because half the league is in the stands. You know Philly's in the stands. So, you know, everybody's, and we in their place too. Don't get me wrong. This is about the opener. It's about the first 3 weeks. So what you're doing now has to be able to carry over to Philadelphia, Dallas, and the world champions. And if you're doing anything that doesn't help you there, you're wasting your time.
So Doc, you know, we talked about the defensive line, but the offensive line, I like what they built over the last couple of years, but now it's time to, you know, I think we have our five starters, or I'm going to say four out of the five because the center position is the one in question. The guard, the left guard position, I think no matter who you choose, you're going to be strong there. But you always say it's about you say 53 from the start of this show.
Eight.
But it's about the guys that's behind
up
that,
front.
Right?
It's the Fab Five. Plus, we got eight guys that can start. And I don't care which one of them that it is, but I got to have eight. Because you have to be built for what happened today with Tunsil. That can't kill your season. It can't kill your practice. Next man up, and that guy's got to be able to, he's not going to be Tunsil, but you got to be able to win with him. If anybody's on your roster that you can't win with, that's your fault, not theirs.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's picking the players is one thing. Then you have to be able to train them so they can do in battle, you can win with them. We've never been able to put those two things together. If we pick people, we brag about them, then they don't play in the game. So how do we know what they can do? Oh, my God, this guy was great in practice. He's this and that, never plays. You were still sending out the same old, slow AARP staff people you had. That's your fault. Well, those guys will be headed. They're gone. Now you got two new coordinators. Do you think they're going to show us today what they're going to do against Philly? You know better than that.
No.
Nothing.
No, not at all.
Right.
So not
don't expect it.
All right. But You can't hide the depth. And that's the one thing that I'm talking about here, guys. You got to have that depth and people that can play, not just people behind them, but just like you said.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
People that can play.
We will see that. There's no way we can. I'm waiting on Ben Standick. He's my insider. And, you know, standing room only, the Substack, the whole nine yards. We're going to get the news out. They're going to get there. Finley's out there. Believe me, we're going to get the news. It's going to get out. And we're going to get it first. So just stay calm and tell the first lady that congratulations. Our Chiefs are still viable.
I got you.
All right, peace.
All right. Later.
Drew, what you think, man? We good?
Yeah, we're good. Are you talking about defensive line?
Well, yeah. I mean, and you get the toothpick was panic. He was in panic mode. Where are you at?
I feel good about the defensive line. The guys we got there, again, you said it's not the AARP crew that we have out there anymore. We don't have to worry about Von Miller as our top guy. Who was the other guy? Was his name something Martin?
I don't remember.
But not Quan Martin. Jacoby Martin. I can't remember.
It doesn't really matter.
But yeah, it doesn't matter now. We got Odafe Owe, Kalavon Chase on. Of course,
and they're flashing.
And they're flashing. Big, strong, athletic.
And they look like alien figures.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like guys, not like your grandparents visited, but just your young uncle that just got out of RTC. All right? Let's go back to the lines. Kirk in Maryland, thanks for being patient.
Hey, Doc, how's it going?
It couldn't be any better unless we were beating the Eagles.
I understand. First, Doc, I want to say what a pleasure it is to hear you on the radio. All right, you're a man that knows what you're talking about. You've been there before, and you root for the hometown. You root for my Commanders. I greatly appreciate that. But you also demand accountability, and you call a bum, you know? I really appreciate that.
It's called normal in my world.
I
want
to talk about – yeah. I appreciate that. Really, I do. It's not often you see that. I want to talk about preseason football, though, okay. All right? Because you sound like you're in my camp on this, but – I don't understand this. We're going to get to week one and week two and say, oh, we're just trotting out the offense. We're just getting you. I don't – you've got these preseason games, and you talk about maybe Jaden Daniels playing 12 snaps. I'm sorry. My offense is out there until they score, period. If that takes every quarter of every preseason game, then that's it. Same with my defense.
Well,
they're out there until they
stop
the other team from scoring.
Coach Gibbs had a very similar – standard as well. You want to get off the field, score. And so you're walking amongst redwoods with the way you think right now. It'll take us forever to talk about preseason, but we'll take a stab at it after this break. Appreciate your phone call. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Here on the MGM National Listener Line, DOC. And I'll tell you what, man, we're going to find a way to get to the core of this. We'll be right back. First of all, let me apologize to my old Spartan partner, Scott Jackson, who was in the hyperbaric chamber and came out, and he came out early, and I wasn't ready for the call, and I cost you some valuable time in the chamber. I can never give you those moments back, but I appreciate you joining us now. And as a veteran of training camps, what's the most important part of camp to you?
Well, obviously, health is big, and of course, today that kind of rings true, right?
Yep.
That's the concern, right? You want to get through it healthy, but you have to do it. I mean, we've talked about this a million times. You have to do it. I mean, there's no way to get around it. You can't play a physical sport like this one without doing it to some degree. I don't know how some of these teams do it that, you know, skip all the preseasons and, you know, kind of don't have their players rep it live, but, you know, it's been done. I mean, I can't say it hasn't been done because obviously the Rams and, you know, Chargers have done it with their quarterback for a while. And, teams like the Chiefs who play, you know, Patrick Mahomes all the time, and this might be the first time in his 9-year career he might not even play in the preseason. So Tom Brady used to play in the preseason. I just think the reps against real things. I mean, I watched these 7-on-7 drills. I think it was the Dolphins coach who was talking about this earlier in the week, Jeff Hafley. It's just 7-on-7 just it gives you such a bad It can cause bad habits for quarterbacks, you know.
I mean,
this false sense of security, you know, that's not there. And there's around the country, there's places that can only play 7-on-7 football because of size of schools and things like that. And those guys tend to, you know, maybe not be ready to play you know, 11-11 as well, and you know, things like that. It's just not real football. It's a problem, you know. And you're playing in the NFL. You got to get used to hitting and being ready for it, and see what the offensive line feels like in front of you. So, yeah, I just think that part of it is most important. It's health, and then obviously getting these, you know, padded rep days in, whether it's with your own team or with other teams. But it's still, you know, as you know, Tusk is a quarterback until he gets in one of those games. Is not going to know, not going to truly be ready for what it's going to really be like when the season starts.
I got a big kick today listening to Hollywood Ask You and Anthony Armstrong, because Anthony's been there, done that, and you have to have been a veteran of training camps, in my opinion. It's priceless to be able to speak from experience, which most can't, because unless you've been through that, you don't know anything about it. It's dehumanized. It's unbelievable what you're asking your body to do when you deplete it. And you can't get to that point till you deplete it. And that's where, like, a day like today was for wide receivers, yeah, who have to go 100 miles an hour every time, every rep. And to have a guy with the pedigree that we've inherited is, to me, amazing to see that done on a day like today. Because it's about the air game, but making it realistic. So that when you get into those scrimmages, which we'll see next week and Wednesday, it has more bearing and gets you closer to reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard when you're going to get your own people and over. And, you know, tempers are flaring at camp, you know, here and other places.
Oh, well, you mean about the Raiders and your guy, and your favorite quarterback of all time.
Oh, my God, Kirk Cousins, man, I'll tell you what.
But don't you love Kurt for that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he knew that, you know, that Max had a reputation for not giving a crap who the quarterback is, and he was going to tell him early, I guess.
And I, you know, yeah, what? And there's part of that that really, the sick part of me goes,
yeah, right.
Don't you like the fact that he's really training? He wants it to be real.
Right. Yeah, and he's right. Never, it's kind of weird for them.
Come on, man. That's the goal, yeah, is to get to the quarterback. Yeah. How can you deny, yep, me from at least slapping his helmet or hitting his shoulder pad? And this lunatic will not stop.
Yeah. Well, it's wild because, you know, I think back, you know, the Stone Ages. I mean, Bobby Bowden lost a quarterback in a spring game because they played live with the, yeah, quarterback.
You're right. Great.
You know, Stan Kendra. I mean, you know, right, you just don't do that for these reasons. And I go to these college practices and they wave the flags behind the quarterback to, you know, so they know when it's a sack or whatever, then they mark it back. But,
right,
but they're obviously not letting him get sacked. But there's certainly more tackling in the college practices when they get the pads on than there are in the NFL practices. But
it's got it's wild. Doesn't it make you weird, though, to think that the best in the business is Mahomes? They play in the pre and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
But yet nobody seems to follow that model. Isn't that weird?
No, it's very weird. And, you know, again, Brady did it, too. Like, Brady wanted to get
the GOAT. No question.
Yeah, he wanted to get reps in line. It's just not a real thing. And it's great. Right. You know, I love the stats everybody keeps and everything, and it's wonderful. And even these kickers, you know, they're kicking into the woods, people. I mean, it's woods in Ashbury. You guys know this. I mean, you go out there, they're not going to see any wooded areas in the NFL when the real game starts.
Nope.
And I don't know if this guy Stevens can kick the ball into the zone in a game situation, in a stadium, because that's what you have to do in the NFL. You can't boot it through the end zone all the time.
That's
It's great that he's got a strong leg, and it sounds like, you know, Bryce Harper hitting a baseball, and that's cool. And I hope he can do it when the lights are on.
We're going to find out.
But in order to make the team, he's going to have to figure out this kickoff thing, too. He's going to have to nail that, because that is such a weapon now. And if you screw it up, you're giving up a valuable, you know, field position. So you're going to have somebody who can do both of those things for you well.
That's a good. Well, what's your next personal appearance so we can let fans know they want to come out?
Well, I'll be
their babies.
I'll be at training camp this week for a few days. So
Wednesday?
There Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, we'll see about Wednesday. We're working on that.
Okay, good deal. Well, I look forward to seeing you.
I don't know if I can extend my day or not. We'll see.
Well, you know, I think the misses, if you put throwing a little Goldman Sachs effort in that, you'll be able to pull
it off. I might have to do that.
Yeah, okay. All right, brother, you the best, man. Nothing but love for you. Thank you. That's the one and only.
All right, have a good day.
Scott Jackson, as Coach Thompson say, he is simply one of the best. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And you know what? We'll take a few more calls on the other side of this here on this Sports Saturday. We'll take a quick break. Now, Drew, want to get some comments from you on what you heard from Scotty, and we'll just keep cranking this bad boy up. All right? Stay with us.